House Bill 1229 is an act to make an appropriation to provide grants to out-of-school time programs in the state and to declare an emergency. And I hope we speed up much faster now.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. I'm Jim Ellenbecker. I'm the Secretary of the Department of Social Services. And the out-of-school time programs are those that operate before and after school, during summer vacations, or other times when schools are not in session. In South Dakota, 81.8% of women with children between the ages of 6 and 17 are in the labor force. That's cited from the Kids Count fact book. The out-of-school time program provides a safe environment for children who are normally would be home alone or unsupervised when they're not in school session. Out-of-school programs reduce worries and concerns for working parents by assuring that children are properly supervised. House Bill 1229 authorizes $1 million of funding for out-of-school time programs for elementary, middle school-aged children. The new appropriation would be available for startup and continuation programs immediately this summer and fall, and we would hope that they would demonstrate the following. When they make application, that there is a community-wide collaboration, that school districts have made a commitment, there's an overall quality program planned, and there's an ability to sustain the program's funding at the end of our funds. Programs funded in the with the first year project would be awarded a grant of approximately $35,000 on average. We've estimated that there could be 45 to 50 possible new applicants that we would consider for their first year of funding. Continuation grants, we estimate that there would be about 20 continuation grants and that they would average funding of about $20,000. This $1 million would be added to about $1,065,000 of out-of-school time funding that's currently in the Department of Social Services budget. So we would fund both continuing programs and new programs at about little over $2 million level in fiscal year 2002. In 1998, an aggressive program to create and expand out-of-school time programs was initiated by Governor Jankel when he challenged school districts to become program hosts, and we've had quite a bit of development in this area. We've had 48 projects that we've funded. There are about 40 different communities, and we've spent about $2,016,000 in getting those projects going. We've created slots for about 3,783 students statewide in these projects. The average cost of those slots is about $545. When I use the term slot, during a year's time, more than one child could be served in a program. We just use slots to as a term to identify if you would, a student fully participating. If he was in the program the whole year, that it would be just one student, one slot. But oftentimes, more than one student might be served, and it might be a second or third student of in the same slot. Currently, there are 129 out-of-school time programs operating in about 114 different schools that the Department of Social Services through our Office of Child Care Services have participated in getting those programs up and going. Additional funding for out-of-school time programs would help meet the goal set by Governor Jankel that every school district in South Dakota have an out-of-school time program to serve children of working parents. Out-of-school time programs are valuable for the following reasons. Oftentimes there's a decrease in juvenile crimes and school vandalism, and negative peer influences leading to things such as drug abuse and alcohol use. We also think that out-of-school time programs strengthen students' academic achievements. It improves their school attendance and reduces dropout rates. It helps students do their homework. It helps improve the students' behavior while they're in school. And it boosts the number of students who have plans for the future that include finishing high school and maybe going on to higher education. There's some facts about juvenile behavior or youth behavior that I think can't go unignored. That juvenile crime rates triple between 3 p.m. and 6 p.m. When students are left unsupervised and unattended. Most adolescent girls who become pregnant do so between 3 and 6 p.m. in their own homes. Students who spend 1 to 4 hours per week in extracurricular activities are 49% less likely to use drugs and 37% less likely to become pregnant as a teenager. This bill has an emergency clause on it. We would like the funds to be available to us this spring so that we can authorize programs before the school year ends, so school districts can, in fact, make plans before the summer months so that they can have the programs ready to go in the fall when students show up, and we would like the funds so that we can make those obligations at that time. I'd be glad to answer any questions that you might have.
Senator Putnam.
Thank you. Mr. Secretary, I didn't get the exact number. In the department now, you said you have some current funds. What's that number again?
We currently have in the budget $1,065,000 within the department currently.
Yeah, in the...
In the governor's recommended for 2000.
Right, that's
excuse
what I'm getting
me.
At. I was taking that to mean that you had, in your department, you had unspent $1 million of the program. I misinterpreted that.
I probably said it wrong.
Thank you. That's more like it. Thank you.
So you're looking at adding another $1 million to that program?
Yes. It's a one-time... The governor recommends, the governor's bill, he recommend a one-time effort to get these programs started. We decrease the funding each year. First year we start at 75% of a project, second year 50%, third year 25% is our general practice in funding these programs. So there takes a quite a local commitment just to get a program going.
I wonder how many one time every year we always have.
Well, you know
how many schools are we currently doing this in right now?
There's 114 schools that have been involved. It's about 65 different school districts that have been involved up to this point in out-of-school time programs. It wasn't too many years ago there virtually were no out-of-school time programs. I think between what we've done in a relatively short period of time with seed money to get programs going, the federal government through their 21st century grants, which we've been very instrumental in getting local school districts trained to seek federal support in those programs, have really been the primary funding sources for getting most of these programs up and going, and they have to be self-sustaining at the end of the third year.
Are we matching federal funds with this then?
No, not really. If we award a grant, for example, to a local school district, they've applied to us. They apply then to the 21st century funding from the federal government. If they're awarded that federal funding, then we withdraw our funding, and that's just an agreement that we've always had, that we help them try to attain the federal funding, but we won't duplicate the funding in any way. So I don't believe that there's any real there could be maybe a local school district might get a little additional or be using some federal funds that they receive, but it's not I don't believe it's real significant.
You don't know how much federal funds we've been able to leverage then in this manner?
All of the funds that we've used up to this point in time is funding from the Child Care Development Block Grant, so that's all been federal funds up to this point.
Okay. Senator Duxbury, and then
to be clear, I thought it was clear, and then it got muddied up. The $1 million that you have in the budget, that is
in the governor's recommendation. No. In the current recommendation, we have $1 million, and it's all childcare development block grant funding.
That's what I thought.
Federal money.
And that's in addition to the 1.65, or that 1.65 is this year's funding, and you need $1 million next year. Is that what you're saying?
That's correct.
You don't need 1.65 plus one next year.
Yes.
In other words, 1.65 is ongoing, and then you're adding the million to that, right?
Which is a one-time startup for programs. Next year, I would guess that we would be back. I mean, in 2003, would we be back closer to the $1 million figure?
But to clear this,
okay, yeah. Senator Duxbury.
So if there's an application made and it comes out of the 1.65 money,
this current,
then you don't use any general funds. Is that what you said before?
That's correct.
Yeah, okay.
Okay. Yeah, this would be all current year because of the emergency clause. Yes. That's right. Okay. Senator Madden.
Okay. Secretary, in my mind, I'm having a hard time justifying the need for this program. I know we have the YMCA, the Girls Club, the Boys Club, church youth groups, library programs, school sports programs, and their foreign language clubs. The schools have so many different programs already. Aren't we duplicating some services? Is this really needed? That's the problem I'm having fighting in my mind.
I think the best way that I'd answer that is we had an institute, if you would, this fall, where we invited schools to come to Pierre for a couple of day workshop for those communities that were interested in, and we had presenters there from other school districts that have had ongoing programs, and they talked about their programs and why they had gotten involved in the program. And I think there's a tremendous amount of support and need. Not all children get involved in the types of extracurricular activities that we're pretty accustomed to. I think it's very helpful if they do play sports, get into debate or programs that might be after school. But that's not all students. A lot of students go home to an empty house and are not involved after the end of the school day.
Follow up, Senator Madden.
Thank you. Well, Secretary, what I don't understand is if they don't get involved in the YMCA or the Boys Club or Girls Club, why do you feel that they would be involved in this program? The Girls Club, Boys Club, that's, what is it, 50 cents a year or something like that?
Well, not every community has a Boys Club or a Girls Club or a YMCA. A lot of our small communities do not have those types of activities.
Okay, Senator Cleveland.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. You said that you're going to start 20 new programs, is that right?
We would estimate that there would be between 45 and 50 first-year funded new programs.
Oh, okay. So that I thought at 20, that'd be about 50,000, so that'd be maybe 20,000.
About $35,000 would be the average for the first-year programs.
Okay, and then can you tell me who's in charge of this program in your department?
Pat Munson, our program manager for child care services. Luila Hunking, who also is the day-to-day overseer of the program, but Pat oversees the entire office.
All right, and one more question. You had 129 programs in 114 schools now, so some schools apparently are having more than one program, is that right?
Yes. In Sioux Falls, for example, all the middle school have a program.
Okay, thank you. Senator Apa?
This will be short. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Secretary Allenbecker, all this takes is yes or no. Wouldn't you agree that the more the government assumes responsibility, the less responsible parents become? Yes or no? Okay, you don't have to answer. You don't have to answer that one, Secretary Allenbecker. I have another question. A one-time program. I want to know, we know that if a student gets 8 hours of sleep, he performs better in school the next day. When are we going to have a program to tuck him in? I mean, when does it stop?
Mr. Chairman, I think I would agree with some of that. I think the reality is today, though, 81% of our working of our mothers that have children between 6 and 17 years of age are in the labor force, and they very much worry about what their child, maybe a 7th or 8th grader, middle school child, what they're going to do when they go home. They're not going to pay for babysitter. I think that's the reality of today, and if we can give them some after-school activity that's well supervised, that's extremely beneficial to those child, that benefits the community, because children are not getting in trouble, and it lessens the worry of the parents. And they have to, I mean, we don't do this just as a government buy-in. We help through our seed grant to really get the program started, they have to become self-sustaining after the third year. And we start right from the beginning, because we only participate in 75% of the cost the first year. And we wean them quickly from that.
Okay, Senator Greenfield.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I believe Senator Madden neglected to pay homage to the arts, so I'd like to mention that drama, music, and all those are included too. He said that 114 schools are involved. That's about 65% of the schools in our state. Have you quantified in any way the results that we've achieved in those schools? How profound of an impact have we had by having these programs? Have we seen a decrease in teen pregnancy and teen drug use, or are they getting pregnant at different times of the day than the 3 to 6? Or, I mean,
only a single guy would ask that question.
This is a statement from one of the programs. I had not read this before, but so bear with me. This is a statement that they published on program outcomes. Office referrals decreased 17% from 953 to 792. School suspensions decreased 9% from 289 to 263. Offering restrictions after school for homework, help, transactions saved 4,905 periods of classroom instructions. They increased their SAT 9 in grades 6, 7, and 8. Students enjoyed the after-school program and it carries over to their schoolwork. Students with poor peer relationship found friends in the after-school program, and new students made friends in the after-school program. This was just a program and how they described. I think it was interesting to go to that institute and listen to some of the current schools that are providing. Almost every one of them had some outcomes that they talked about as being very positive results for their students. We haven't really created the kind of database or done the type of longitudinal study to really track like teen pregnancy or anything like that. I suspect that could be done, but that too is very expensive to set up that kind of a tracking evaluation system. But I think asking the schools what they find as good outcomes from this, these are their testimonials, and I could have and probably should have brought others with me.
I appreciate you sharing those numbers. Thank you.
Thank you,
Senator Koskin.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chairman. We might have too much time this morning or something. We haven't had real bills to ask questions on before, so we've held all these questions. I was started out with a question, but now I have a comment first. The concern that I have, Secretary Allenbecker, these kind of programs, is the comment you made about, you know, a lot of the concerned mothers and parents, mothers are working now, where in the past they hadn't. The concern that I have is that, and that's not true in all cases, but a lot of those working parents are concerned about their students or their young people, but they're willing to give them off. The offset to that, or they're requiring services after school care, that type of thing. But the concern as I have is the parents that decide to stay home with their children are being taxed for those services for somebody else, those that really make the commitment to stay home and sacrifice some of the other things. So that's why I'm always torn between this issue. I realize there's benefits to it, but at whose expense. So that's a concern I have. I do have a question. Do you know how many students are enrolled in this or in these programs right now? You probably knew that earlier when I was out.
In the 40 communities that we had our funding in initially, we created about just under 3,800 what I call slots. So some of those would serve more than one child. So, but a minimum of 3,800 children were served in those 40 communities.
That'd be 3,800 and $1.65 million spent on that so far?
No, these were the 48 projects that we initially funded, and we actually spent a little over $2 million on those initial 40 projects.
3,800 students?
Yes.
So you're spending $526 a student?
$545 is the exact figure per slot. That's for the whole school year.
Any other questions of the committee? If not, thank you. Are there any other proponents to House Bill 1229? Are there any opponents to House Bill 1229? If not, we will close this public testimony to committee discussion and or action. Moved by Senator Cleveland to defer House Bill 1229. Is there a second? Seconded. All those in favor signify by saying aye. Those opposed, same sign. House Bill 1229 is deferred.